You're tuned to KDWA, AM 1460, FM 97.7, and this is Community In-Depth. I'm your host for this segment, Mike Rood. I have in the studio with me Dakota County Commissioner Mike Slavik. Commissioner Slavik, it's good to have you back.
Well, thank you. It's great to be here.
It's been kind of one of those whirlwind mornings where everything's kind of bunching up on us, and he just kind of flew into the studio here and as we get going, but there have been a lot of things going on both at the county level and all over the place. Let's jump right into it, Mike. When we're going to start, you were talking about some of the budget numbers and constituent concerns. Tell me what's going on.
Well, sure. Yeah. So I think many of our listeners will recall last month I just had given a heads up that we were moving into budget season, and it's kind of that time. We had a workshop in August, and so I was just kind of given a preview to that, and so I was able to. Since we've last met, we did actually have our budget workshop and have. Recommended a 0% levy for 2022, and kind of how some numbers will look with that. And but I think it was interesting after that was stated, I had a couple people reach out to me and say, well, of course you should be a 0% levy. The valuations of the county went up this percent. You know, our homes are going up. Real estate's been just crazy. And so I thought it was a good education that I was able to have with this constituent.
Sure.
And I thought I would just continue it and share it with all of the listeners. And
Walk me through it.
Sure. So we have so this coming year in 2022's valuation is going to increase by about 5.86%. So it's actually one of the lowest valuation increases we have had in the last 5 to 10 years. So we've had some really good, since the recession got over and the 08 recession, we've seen values go up significantly. And anyone who owns a home and sees what your neighbor house sells for, you know that your houses have gone up. So the question was, well, of course you're going to do 0% because you're getting all this extra money from the valuation increases that all happen. Right. But actually, you know, so the levies are set at cities, at schools, at counties, at a dollar amount. And so when you do a 0% levy, your levy stays, the dollar amount stays the same from one year to the other year. So in Dakota County's case, our levy is roughly about $142 million.
Okay.
And if we don't do an increase, even though the values go up, the amount of money that the county uses does not go up without an increase. So therefore, when your value goes up, your price, if everybody did a 0% levy, you actually would have your taxes go down if you do a 0% based on that, because more people who have higher values are able to kind of contribute more of their share than you are. So
right. So what you're saying basically is even though those house values are increasing, the levy from the county will not change because of the way you have it set up.
Yeah. Yes, correct. So that's the dollar amount doesn't change. An example with the increase we're having, because residential went up significantly, and about 65% of the properties in Dakota County are houses, are residential.
Mm-hmm.
So the rest are apartment buildings, farmland, cabins, and commercial and industrial. But of that, the biggest increase happened in residential. That's where most of the valuation increase was. So in our scenario there, we ended up, so even at a 0% levy, your home, because the average home went up in price, if you are the new average price of home, you're going to go up about $3 just on your county portion, even with that. However, if your home did not go up or did not go up to the median average, so let's say your house only went up 3%, you're going to see a reduction. So anything under the valuation increase. So if you had zero valuation increase, your home value went down, or it went up less than the 5.86, you will actually see your taxes go down at 0% based on that. So it's kind of complicated. But
We can't have it all easy now, can
no,
we?
but I know I hear a lot of people, that's what, you know, you hear things like the city or the county needs to increase its tax base, you know, get more businesses to come in because an industrial building or a commercial property pays significantly more taxes than a house.
Okay.
So we hear that at the local level, we hear that at the county level, and the real thing is that will expand the tax base and make it more broad so that you don't see the big bubble where 65% is all houses. And so when you're more diverse, it actually spreads it out better. So
sure.
Some years you're a winner, some years you're not, but overall It makes it easier.
Well, and expanding the tax base, if you're not increasing, if there's a 0% increase, mm-hmm. but the tax base expands, mm-hmm. doesn't that then also mean that your individual portion could possibly go down a bit as it spreads out?
It absolutely does. And I think that's one of the other points that I wanted to make is of our 5.86%, about 1.5% of it is actually from new construction. So so some of that increase isn't even your home. It's actually the houses that were not there or commercial buildings that were not there that we're now able to tax at. So to get perspective, just for Hastings, that's about 0.6% of the overall increase, which is, Hastings was about a 4.5% increase. And of that, 0.6% of that was new construction.
All right.
So.
And what is the process in the budget from this point? You've had your budget workshop. Has the preliminary budget amount been set yet?
So that workshop went and kind of walked through everything, showed us how to get to zero, and then there's also we went through what every staff member had asked for new positions
mm-hmm.
and
sure.
additional equipment and. There will be some flexibility with our American recovery monies from the federal government that might be able to cover some of those one-time costs in there. But we will have one last workshop just to make sure everything looks good. And we had a few unanswered questions at the September 7th meeting. We'll go during our general government committee. Mm-hmm. We'll go one more time. And then at our second meeting of September is where we set our preliminary levy. So,
okay.
So the preliminary levy but for counties and cities must be set by the end of September. So,
sure.
So we'll be able to set that. And what that means is it can go lower, but it cannot go higher.
I was going to bring that up. If people want to get involved and be part of that process, give your input. Mm-hmm. And then once that preliminary levy is set, that's the most
correct.
That it will be through the rest of the process.
That is correct. And so then in between September and December, the county board will really be finalizing those details, going through our full budget meetings in November. Mm-hmm. Ultimately, in December, we will approve the budget. But then something that local governments must also do is a truth and taxation hearing where the public will hear what the budget looks like and be able to give their comment or feedback. And usually ours, for example, is November 30th.
Right.
So it'll be in the evening. It's the one meeting a year we have in the evening. And we'll be able to go through that. But your city and your school board also must do that. And
right.
I think actually, technically by state law, when you do a 0% levy, you don't need to do one. But we already, as a county board, it's just our transparent way of showing that.
Sure.
Yeah.
And is there anything that, as you've been looking through the budget information already, is there anything that stands out that says this is a really good thing that we're using funds for? What kind of projects or what kind of requests for funding have you been seeing?
Sure. So the 0% kind of goes and follows our capital improvement plan.
Mm-hmm.
So that is the money that's already funded for those projects in there. So it's not as if by doing zero we do nothing.
No, of course.
And we have about 4% of will actually be the benefits and wage increases for our employees. So that is
good.
We're able to do that as our county because the way we reacted to COVID in the very beginning, we did hiring freezes. We went and just didn't fill positions. And when that happened, we had such a significant cost savings that and then we also had the federal monies that also helped with that. But those purposes allowed us to go and instead of the general fund going down, which was what was budgeted, it actually increased. So we felt, we were paying cash for our new renovation over in Empire, the transportation building.
Mm-hmm.
So our general fund was going to go down by about $19 million. And it actually swung the other way almost to the tune of $20 million. So for that reason, it was very hard for us to go to the taxpayers and say, when we actually have more money than what we actually planned for,
mm-hmm.
we should not be going to the taxpayer and asking for that. So we will be using some reserves to,
sure.
to kind of buy down the increases for the inflationary increases for 2022.
And it's also good to mention at this point that there are no outstanding bond initiatives out there for Dakota County. Everything you have, I believe the the accounting term is you're in the black.
We are in the black, yes. So and we're solid on that. So we'll have some very significant transportation plans that are going to continue. We're averaging over $100 million a year in transportation projects, and that's not going to go any different. And
I think
it should be noted that when I first was elected, we were spending roughly about $30 to $35 million on transportation projects and new construction. So we've gone a significant increase. You know, I started at the end of the recession as a county commissioner, and so we were just gearing back up to it, but we're back into really taking care of our roads.
And one of those projects that I've been seeing information about is the County Road 46 corridor from like Lakeville over to Hastings. Talk a little bit about that.
Sure, yeah. So some of that will move faster than others, but recently, they're different projects, but I'll start locally in Hastings. There's been a partnership with the city of Hastings trying to figure out, address a number of the challenges between Highway 61 and Pleasant or General Sieben, somewhere in that vicinity there. And there was a recent open house where we had just kind of here's some short-term things that can be done by the county, you know, some signage and that, but then here's where you make some investments and some tougher choices, and that will actually require both a city contribution and the county contribution. So that is not currently in a five-year plan, CIP, but the I think next year you'll see some of those low-hanging fruit directional things addressed. Additionally, with the new senior development that's off of Riverwood and 46, that is that the city and the county are partnering with that developer to address some of those improvements. So you will see that this year or next year. But then the next phase you run into is from Coates all the way to Highway 3 in Rosemont. And right now that is in the five-year plan to be converted into a four-lane highway. Nice. Roughly $30 million project. We're working with the state on some of that, as well as our transportation sales tax.
I think the conventional wisdom for that whole area is that we're going to start seeing more development of residential housing in that area, and that particular thoroughfare will need to be upgraded to handle the traffic load that's anticipated.
That's certainly one part of it, as well as there's a lot of gravel mining leases with with the university and private developers, and with that the truck traffic is just getting very, very challenging. When you're getting a fully loaded truck filled with gravel that's running you at like 40 miles an hour, and you get a backup of 50 cars because of it, because they're trying to get up into the next gear.
Sure.
So both of them are, it's just very congested.
Yeah. And the infrastructure there is probably, I don't want to say outdated, but it's got some age on it. Mm-hmm. And when you get those 40-ton trucks rolling over that pavement a lot, I know they just redid an intersection up in St. Paul Park. Mm-hmm. Because coming out of the refinery there were 6-inch grooves in the asphalt.
Well, it's always interesting on the gravel tax and that. So there is a state gravel tax that a portion goes to the local cities and to the local county.
Mm-hmm.
And out in Apple Valley on County Road 46, they've had that exact issue. That is, I think that's a 10-inch concrete. So it's more than it normally would be to protect it.
Right.
But the county typically gets about $500,000 in gravel tax, and just to do that section in there was like $2.5 million because of what you had to do. So it took 5 years of gravel tax just to address that one issue. So that's kind of what you deal with those. But yeah, so things are going well. We haven't exactly, we have the process with the budget, and that is done simultaneously with the process with our next five-year CIP. So it takes off everything that happened this year and adds another year to it. And so it's only, it's a five-year CIP where we're doing the last year of it in our list, and we pull things off and add new things. And so that's really where you'll see some of the parts in there. And then other unknowns that we'll talk about in the next 3 months.
Sure. And is there anything else in the budget that you would like the listeners to be aware of?
Well, I think for our listeners that are in the rural area, it's important to note we have had a sheriff study that has gone to figure out the right amount for patrol division.
Okay.
For the small cities and townships are patrolled by the sheriff's department, and they do an absolutely wonderful job.
Mm-hmm.
And I know talking with the sheriff regularly, he appreciates how kind and appreciative the residents are in the rural areas towards the deputies. So I know that that makes a great great partnership, but it's a little lean on the numbers in there. We've been trying to figure out some ways to increase the a number of deputies, and some of those challenges that I've worked with that is that most of the costs, it's a county cost, mm-hmm. with the township small cities only covering about 5% of that cost, and
sure.
residents from Hastings to Lakeville to Eagan are paying about 95% of the law enforcement for those areas.
Oh,
so they're trying
yeah.
to figure out a way to have the townships and small cities are trying to figure out ways to be a better partner,
right.
and add that as and mm-hmm. the county's been working that way to maybe keep the base that's there and have them do some contributions to help add some extra deputies for that relief kind of moving forward. So we're working on some sort of a better partnership with that, and right now the sheriff's request is 4 new deputies from where they're at now, and they're having a hard time just with retirements filling the positions
sure.
they have
oh,
now.
Yeah, yeah.
But we last year in 2021 for this year's current budget, the only position we added was a new sheriff deputy in the entire county. So I think we're going to continue that plan to try to add 1 to 2 a year every single year. And make the force a little bit more what it should be.
All right, and that will keep up with the attrition rate from retirements or moving on and stuff like that? You're hoping?
We're working on that, yeah.
We're hoping.
Hope so. Yeah, so I think just employment in general, if you're looking for a job and maybe you live in the District 1 and you want to just not drive so far and work for a great place, we're hiring a lot of positions just because we got a lot of retirements and we're hiring some of those positions that we held frozen, all that. So I encourage you to go on the county website if you're looking for a career change and maybe you want to go work for the county. There are opportunities.
All right. And we are just about out of time, Commissioner Slavik. So at this point, once again, I'd like to provide you the opportunity to provide contact information if anybody has questions or concerns or if they're looking for that career change.
Well, sure, absolutely. Well, feel free to reach out to me. There's a number of ways that you can do that. I am on social media, so you're always willing to just reach out to me, even a Facebook or a tweet. But at the same time, if you go to the county website, it does have all of my contact information, including email, my home phone, as well as my office phone, and all of them will work for you to be able to reach out to me.
All right, and that Dakota County website is dakotacounty.us. I have been chatting here with Dakota County Commissioner Mike Slavik. I want to thank you for your time, sir. Appreciate you coming by. This is Community In-Depth on KDWA, AM 1460, FM 97.7.